On Sunday at Double or Nothing, AEW opened the show with the women's final in the Owen Hart Foundation tournament. They closed the show with the men's final. And tonight they did the exact opposite. They opened the show with the men, one of whom was the winner of the Owen, that being Hangman Adam Page. And they closed the show with the winner of the women's Owen, Mercedes Moné, coming out to confront her challenger at All in Texas for the AEW Women's World Championship. Timeless Toni Storm comes out, and they close the show with the two women having their first formal face-to-face confrontation in the middle of the ring. 45 days. We have 45 days to go until All in Texas, until they have their match. And that's going to be a long 45 days, depending on what they do between now and then, because we've seen this before where they don't always necessarily have the best segments in between to fill the gap from show to show. But here you have two of the biggest, not even two of the biggest, the two biggest female stars, two of the biggest stars, period, in the entire company. I sure hope they can come up with some compelling television to keep us occupied for these next 45 days until we get to the match, because we still have a ways to go. The main event segment, it was fine as an introductory segment between the two of them. What I'll be looking for is to see in the weeks to come, how do they put some real heat? You know, how do they throw some real gasoline on the fire here to get us interested in this match? Now, it's going to be a great match. First time meeting here in this company since Mercedes came to AEW. But what are they really going to do to heat this thing up between now and then? Tonight, it was more about the two of them being out there. It was almost like a mutual appreciation or a mutual admiration society where they were putting each other over in their journeys to get to where they are. I want to see more than that in the coming weeks. How do they get there? You know, what are we going to get? It's too early to decide, you know, how the build is going to go. And, you know, I have my thoughts about how we got here and why I think doing this match in the first place is a mistake. But they set things in motion with the two women at the end of the show. To dial it back to the beginning of the show, we had Hangman Adam Page, who beat Will Ospreay on Sunday in an outstanding main event. Those two had an incredible match, and it will be Hangman challenging Jon Moxley for the AEW World Championship. And there actually is a very interesting story brewing now involving Hangman, Swerve Strickland, and Will Ospreay caught in the middle trying to play peacemaker between them. Because the story is, if we want to beat Jon Moxley, if we want to get that belt out of the briefcase and take down the Death Riders in Texas, we only have so much time between now and then, right? 45 days between now and then to get the job done. We have to be on the same page. We have to be a cohesive unit. Hangman and Swerve, they still don't like each other. They're still fighting. They're still at each other's throats. And it looks like Will Ospreay is now in the role of, well, I've got to find a way to bring these two together. I've got to find a way where we could all get on the same page and we could do what needs to be done. And that is a very interesting story, right? We'll see how it plays out in the weeks to come. But I like that. And that was honestly the best part of the entire show, was the opening segment. Everything after that was below that. We had some good wrestling on the show tonight. We had, I don't know what it was in the air, in the water, whatever it was. There were a few different instances on the show of people getting busted open hard way. So it was one of those nights. And there was a very scary spot, a very scary and stupid spot in the TNT Championship match. Because late in the day today, they had just out of nowhere, they announced that Adam Cole would be defending the TNT title against Kyle Fletcher. Which I thought, well, that's an all-in match. And it very likely will end up still being an all-in match because we didn't get a resolution tonight. But there was a spot in that match that scared the shit out of me, but it also pissed me off because, and we'll get into what happened there, but it was just so unnecessary, you know, given who was involved in the match, that when I saw it, I just thought, like, how stupid can you be to do it, to think about it or pitch the idea of doing it? And it wasn't like any spot that we haven't seen a million times before in other matches, but I saw that and I just thought that was one of the stupidest things I saw all night on this show. We also had the debut of a new star who they have been teasing now for several weeks. Tekla from Stardom arrived on Dynamite tonight. And boy did she ever. It's too bad nobody told the production team. We'll talk about her debut. We'll talk about everything else that happened here on this show. We had a no disqualification women's tag team match talk about that and more in your AEW Dynamite review. It is Wednesday night, May 28th, 2025. I am the Solid Monster. This is our final Dynamite recap here, our final Dynamite for the month of May. We are getting ready to close out May. We're going to close out the month of May on Friday with SmackDown. Hopefully we'll end strong. But this was the final Dynamite here for the month. Like and subscribe. Super chats are open. We have a little goal going in the chat. Also, if you missed it, I was live on Sunday night, very late. Very long show, but full Double or Nothing recap currently up on the channel right now. If you missed it, go back and check it out. A very fun Anarchy in the Arena match. It's a very good show, very strong show overall. So if you're behind, that'll give you something to go check out. And also, you may notice, if you are in the live chat right now, we have a new feature here that is visible if you take a look up there. Leaderboards. XP leaderboard. Experience points. It's a little feature that YouTube has rolled out. And just to try to get, you know, more of the community involved here and get more engagement going. So how do you get on the leaderboard? You collect experience points. You collect XP. And the way you do that is chatting in the live chat. Very simple, right? Just engage in conversation in the live chat. And also you can send super chats, stickers, all that kind of stuff. That will also count towards it. I haven't checked. Actually, let me check and see now. If I can see who is in, oh, I can't see it here on this screen, but you guys can click community on top and take a look at who's in the lead. But if you notice like a crown next to your name, now you know what that is. See, there's Quizzical one. He's got one himself. So let's get involved here in the party. I want to hear from all you guys. Let's get into the show. Tony Schiavone was in the ring, and he was in the ring to introduce the winner of the 2025 Owen Hart Foundation Men's Tournament, Hangman Adam Page, who has punched his ticket to Arlington, Texas. He will be challenging to win back the AEW World Championship, which he has not held in many years. So he made his way out to the ring. Schiavone called it an incredible win on Sunday, and he handed the microphone right over to Hangman. He said victory and defeat are fleeting, and he had lost sight of what was really important over the last 3 years. Says what matters is not the win, it's not the loss. It's what you decide to do with it that matters. Double or Nothing, two men entered the ring knowing one of them had to be beaten. And he thanked Will Ospreay for giving him the fight of his life and reminding him why he decided to do this in the first place. Dispelling any notion that he may have had going into it about Ospreay not being able to carry this company going forward. Now he knows that he can. Page said victory is fleeting, as the title around his waist is something that he is not going to be defending. He had the Owen Hart title around his waist. And he said next year they're going to crown a new Owen Hart Foundation champion. So he took the title off and he handed it over to Tony Schiavone. And he said that he has to look forward to what this has really been about this entire time. It's not about the Owen Hart belt. Tournament's over. He's looking ahead. It's all about the AEW World Championship. That's what this was all about from the very beginning. That's what winning the Owen Hart tournament gets you. It gets you a shot at the AEW World Championship. So that's what it's about. It's been the prize and the responsibility he's been chasing every moment of AEW's existence. And unfortunately, that title has been locked away in a briefcase. Said his very first day in AEW, he told the fans they would be his boss. So tonight, he makes another promise. In 7 weeks, right here in Texas, because tonight they were in El Paso. Yeah, BlissFan, yes, I know he said men's world championship. I didn't think it was necessary to say the men's world champ. I think it's kind of implied and understood that he's going after the men's world championship. We already have a winner on the women's side. I don't think he's going to be stepping into the ring with Timeless Tony Storm. Although I have no doubt that Timeless Tony Storm and Hangman Adam Page would have a very good match. I think we could just call it the AEW World title. I think people will know what we're talking about here. But he says right here in Texas in 7 weeks, he is going to win that championship. And he's going to free it from that briefcase. Page said that he will defend it with every fiber of his being, and that is a promise that he will keep. When you're a babyface and you make a promise, you need to deliver on that promise. So he has promised to win the championship. Swerve Strickland interrupted. No Prince Nana. He came out by himself to the ring. And then he pitched it to a video on the big screen. He wanted to show Hangman a video, and it is highlights from the post-Dynasty edition of AEW Dynamite back on April 9th. And it's the Young Bucks in the ring, because this was right after the Young Bucks had made their return. And so the Young Bucks are in the ring, and they said, as far as why they cost Swerve Strickland the title when he challenged Jon Moxley for it, they credited Hangman. We did it for Hangman. They said Paige never wanted him to be the world champion again. They still love Hangman, and they know he still loves them. So Swerve calls collusion, and he wants a straight answer from Hangman about whether the Young Bucks were working on his behalf. Don't lie to me. Paige said that at Dynasty, he locked his eyes on Swerve. Because remember, Hangman came out during that main event. Said he locked his eyes on Swerve, and then he locked his eyes on Jon Moxley, and for a second, he even thought about helping Swerve. He called Swerve a dumbass and said that if he wanted to cost him the world title, he would have done it himself to his face because he's done it before. Swerve said, "That all sounds good, but you're still full of shit." So things got heated. They came nose to nose. And at that point, we heard Will Ospreay's music. And he power walked his way down to the ring. And Ospreay told Swerve, he goes, "Look, he looks at him like a brother for what he did for him early in his career." And he then told him that you're wrong about Hangman because you learn something about a man when you're in the ring with them, high stakes situation. And Hangman cares about this place. Ospreay said at first he thought Swerve was the guy. And then he thought he was the guy. But now he realizes it's Hangman. He told Swerve that people were starting to believe in them again, and if they work together. But before he could even finish his thought, before he could even finish what he was going to say, Swerve slapped the mic out of his hand. And Swerve made it very clear to him, in no uncertain terms, that he will never work with Hangman, and then he left the ring. So then Ospreay turns to Hangman, and Hangman tells Ospreay that he would never take any of Swerve's abuse again. And then he left the ring. And so Ospreay was left all alone, looking very stressed over this whole situation and just wondering how he was going to be able to remedy this. I thought this was excellent. This was an excellent opening segment here. They have 7 weeks between now and All In. And I think it's a really good story to tell with them heading into their biggest show of the year. Again, here they have the opportunity to finally put an end to all this and take back the championship that's been held hostage now since October. And the only way they're going to do that is by getting on the same page because, of course, what do the Death Riders have? We see it at the end of every pay-per-view, right? They have the numbers game, and now they have the Young Bucks as well with them. So they have the numbers advantage. If Hangman goes in there by himself with just Ospreay as a friend, it's not going to be enough. So that's the story they're telling here, trying to get them to not necessarily like each other, but just have, you know, come to an understanding here. That you have to just trust each other, even if just this one time. Let's come together and let's do the deed, all right? Let's get the job done. And they have several weeks now to play this out. And, you know, it's a role for Ospreay to play. You know, I was surprised when Hangman won on Sunday. I didn't mind him winning. I like him winning and going on to All In and hopefully winning the championship. I don't know that he's going to, but I like that he's going, you know, into that main event. And I would have been fine with Ospreay being the guy as well. But I was expecting it to be Ospreay. And because of that, I was expecting that we were going to circle back to this stuff with Swerve and Hangman. Because there were some backstage segments over the last few months that teased this. That maybe they were going to make up. Or maybe, you know, Hangman was going to apologize to him. And they were going to be able to put their differences aside and take on the Young Bucks. I thought for sure that was going to be the match in Texas. The history not only with Swerve and Hangman, but with Hangman and the Bucks. And you saw the footage from April where the Bucks came out on TV and said, "Oh, hey, we did that for you, Hangman. We cost him the title for you." It just seemed natural that they were going to circle back to it. And I do wonder when Tony Khan made the decision about who he wanted to win this tournament. Did he have Hangman, you know, penned or penciled in from day one? Because there were reports that came out that they were going back and forth, and only Tony Khan knew who the winner was going to be because he didn't want it to leak. But there were still discussions, and yeah, they were still debating who they wanted to win, possibly right up until this weekend, where it could have gone either way, 50-50. And then there was a report from Fightful that said that each guy was actually lobbying management to go with the other guy, where Hangman thought that Ospreay should win. And Ospreay said, no, 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 Hangman should win. Right? I saw that report came out. How often do you hear about something like that in wrestling, right? One of the more selfish industries out there, and you have to be a little selfish to some degree, but you hear stories all the time, especially, you know, back in the day, there's always that master politician and people playing political games and trying to step on other people to get ahead and take their spot. That's what the wrestling business is. That's the entertainment industry, right? I mean, you hear stories like that all the time. And here in this situation, these two guys, it's like, oh, no, 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 no. He should get the match. No, no, no. He should get the match. And I'm like, well, it's kind of nice that, you know, these two guys are looking at the bigger picture here. You know, in their mind, they think that it would be better for the company, or it would be better for the story, you know, to go with the other guy. Or they realize maybe that whoever goes to Texas is not going to win. They're just going to do a job for John Moxley. This would be the cynical way of looking at it. Because maybe they're like, oh, they're just going to give it to Darby. So whoever goes to Texas is going to fucking lose. Yeah, give it to Hangman. Oh, no, 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 no. Give it to Ospreay. Whatever the reason. Whatever the reason. I have no issue with Hangman being the one to get the shot. But now I guess they could do Swerve and Ospreay maybe as a team against the Bucks. But the point I was getting at is if it was a late decision, I do wonder if that changes things a little bit. Maybe that was the original thought process, that we would have Swerve and Hangman against the Bucks, and we would have Ospreay in the main event. And did that change? You know, was it a late decision? Tony doesn't talk about stuff like that, but I would be curious to know when that decision was actually made. But this was a great segment. This was the high point of the show. So we had a highlights package showing footage from the Anarchy in the Arena match on Sunday night, which, again, if you didn't see it, it was a lot of fun. I know those types of matches are not everybody's, you know, favorite thing in the world. It really is just in how they do it, and this one was just a lot of fun. You know, when I was watching it and when it was over and the music and everything else, I just thought it was a lot of fun. I thought it was the best Anarchy in the Arena match they've done. And this was probably the fifth one now that they've done. I thought this was the best of the bunch. They showed the Death Riders arriving outside the arena in their pickup truck. And they get out of the pickup truck and they begin, you know, walking into the building. And I don't know how many of you noticed John Moxley. Maybe it was just the way that it was shot, but it looked like he almost walked into a wall. Like he thought he was supposed to go this way. He was looking or not paying attention, and he almost walked into the fucking wall. But then he turned and he went the other way. And they walked into the arena for the opening contest, which was John Moxley, Gabe Kidd, and Marina Shafir against Mark Briscoe, Speedball Mike Bailey, and Willow Nightingale. Kind of like a smaller version of Anarchy in the Arena. Not quite as chaotic. But still, it was one of these AEW Trios matches where there's a lot going on and a lot of big dives and a lot of big spots. And it's just, it is kind of chaotic in its own way. Not quite as chaotic as Sunday, but it was a little chaotic. Gabe Kidd was out there. He was looking like he was cosplaying as John Moxley. With the bald head and just the way he was out there dressed, it was as if he was trying to dress like John Moxley. Leopoldo says, John Moxley never seems to know where he is going. You know what? That is true. That is true. He's a very weird guy. You ever see him when he comes out on TV? He's making all these weird mannerisms, you know, where he's like, you know, he's moving around like this. His body, it's like he's being possessed by some kind of like demon or something. I don't know. He's a weird fucking guy. So anyway, this broke down very early and got chaotic. Briscoe did a Sabu triple jump dive out of the ring onto the heels before they went to commercial. Gabe Kidd took over during the break. and the Death Riders stayed in control when they came back from break. Bayley made a hot tag. He took out Kidd and Moxley with some rapid-fire kicks. Willow and Marina, they entered, and Willow took control. Kidd had to break up a pinfall. Moxley tried to get his hands on Willow Nightingale, but Bayley put a stop to that. Marina Shafir then surprised Bayley with an exploder suplex. So, of course, Wheeler Yuta gets involved and shoves Bayley off the top turnbuckle. He splats all the way down to the floor. Kidd then grabbed him and tossed him into the barricade. Then he picked him up and he dumped him through a table. I didn't even know it was there. It was on the other side of the timekeeper's barricade. And then they went to another commercial break. I thought I was watching Saturday night's main event again. The Death Riders continued the assault on Bayley as the show came back. Kidd hung him up on the top rope. Moxley tagged in, ate a big kick from Speedball, and he stumbled back into his corner to make a tag back to Gabe Kidd. Bayley managed to land a double knee strike, and he made a tag out to Briscoe. And Briscoe got some offense in. Willow took out Marina with a big splash off the apron, and then Bayley took down Moxley with a moonsault. Willow and Bayley, they cleared a path for Mark Briscoe to hit Froggy Bow on Gabe Kidd, which led to a close near fall. So now Claudio is out there. Claudio gets involved, but he got run off by Commander, who appeared from out of nowhere. There he was, standing on the top rope. And of course, you know, Claudio's on the outside over there. Commander does his rope walk dive, but he's got to make sure, you know, he's got his balance, and it takes a few seconds. So it's like time stands still as Commander is trying to balance himself to make sure that he can do this move. And then he did it. You know, he nailed it. Very talented. But, you know, it is a little funny sometimes when you just gotta stand there and wait. It's like, oh, shit, I know what's coming. I should probably move, but I think I'll stay here. And, hey, let's see what happens. So he wiped out Claudio and fought him to the back. Now, the reason is because the two of them are wrestling probably right now, as I am speaking. They are wrestling on Collision. And the winner of that match is going to go on to the four-way match, which I'll talk more about later on next week's show, for the international title involving Kenny Omega. Moxley put Briscoe to sleep, though, with a bulldog choke, and he won it for the heels. They gave this, I think, just shy of 20 minutes. Probably didn't need to go that long. Otherwise, I thought it was a fine showcase for people, especially like Bayley. You know, Bayley looked good in this match. And Gabe Kidd, you know, just as a way to get the association with the Death Riders over for people who may not realize that he's with Moxley. I don't know if we're going to see him every single week, but he is with Moxley and the Death Riders, at least in an unofficial capacity. The Hurt Syndicate did a post-match promo backstage at Double or Nothing on Sunday. They aired it here. They were in the back. MVP was there. MJF was there. MVP said that it was the fifth successful title defense, and it was
with a tear in my eye.
And with a tear in his eye. It was also the debut of MJF as a full-fledged member of the Hurt Syndicate. MJF put over Lashley and Shelton Benjamin and said that those titles ain't going nowhere. Said it's time to strap them all in with gold and for MJF to go back after his Triple B. When it comes to the Syndicate, it's not personal. It's just business. I was hoping they would actually be on the show because they've been one of the more interesting parts of the show outside of this tape segment. We got nothing from the Hurt Syndicate tonight. So that was disappointing. Ricochet was in the back, and he said that he told everybody that after Double or Nothing, he would continue his quest for gold. But he took a step back, and, you know, he was looking at the landscape. He sees the Death Riders. He sees the Ops. He sees the Don Callis family. Does he see the frat house after tonight? He sees all of these groups, and he realizes Ricochet needs a crew. He needs some loyal subjects on his quest for gold. And once he finds the perfect crew, he will show everybody why Ricochet is out of this world. And then he did his little bird noise. He kept saying the word and emphasizing the word crew. And it just so happens that they have a group. It's not even a group. It's a tag team called Crew, which is Action Andretti and Leo Rush. So I don't know if I'm just kind of putting the puzzle pieces together here, but that may have been a little hint. And I actually think it's not a bad idea. You know, Ricochet having his own little group. I think you could also just bring in Samantha Irvin and put her with Ricochet, and that would also get him some good heat. I mean, he already gets heat, but I still feel like that combo would work, even if he's not in a group, just bringing her in and having them as a pair on TV together and just being obnoxious. But him having a little faction, I don't mind it. If it was him and Leo Rush and Action Andretti and they wanted to, you know, actually do something of note with them, if they were going to be almost like lackeys for him, I mean, it could work. Because I was wondering coming out of the pay-per-view, you know, he beat Briscoe in that ambulance match, not stretcher match. And I thought, okay, well, he won, which he had to, but now what? And I still don't know the answer to that question. There's no further clarity after this first post-Double or Nothing show about where Ricochet goes in the weeks ahead. We still have 7 weeks to go before Texas. But what's the direction for him? Are they waiting for Kevin Knight to come back from Japan? Because he, you know, had a little issue with Ricochet going on. Then he had to leave to go work the Super Juniors, best of the Super Juniors, which I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that ends this weekend. So it is possible that they'll just resume that when Kevin Knight, because Kevin Knight was getting a pretty decent push for himself. I mean, he was rubbing elbows with all the top names in the company in these different tag matches and even some singles matches before he left. I think the last match he had was against Okada. So I would think that when he comes back, they're going to want him in that same position. Maybe they'll pick up with Ricochet and him. But I just feel like Ricochet should be doing more than that. You know, he knows the heel shtick works for him. It works a lot better than it would if he was just babyface Ricochet, because that would just be fucking boring. So what he's doing, I think, is working, but I just think it's important to get him involved in something meaningful and not just slot him like the Paragon, or the Paragon comes out on Collision every week. And I mean, I couldn't give two shits about what they have those guys doing right now. They're slotted at a certain level, and I'm sorry, my interest level wanes. In the case of some of these guys, based on what they're doing, I've enjoyed what Ricochet has been doing, and hopefully they could find something decent. He may not be challenging for a title. Hopefully they could find something decent for him. We'll see if those two guys link up with him. We had a tag team no disqualification match with Megan Bain and Penelope Ford taking on Anna Jay and Harley Cameron. This was a rematch from the buy-in pre-show on Sunday. Anna Jay and Harley Cameron won that match. So this was the rematch, but with no disqualification rules. Shout out to Jake in the chat. What's going on, Jake? Go check out our leaderboard. Refresh the leaderboard and see where you stand. Maze the Great is number one right now. Now, it does reset after every stream, just so you know. So everybody will have a chance to try to be number one. But I see right now Maze is number one, man. He's got bragging rights so far. Look at this guy. This turned into a bit of a mess. But the one thing you can't say is that these women didn't take a beating in this match, especially the baby faces. Penelope Ford came out. She was wielding a trash can. Megan Bain had a golden chair. Harley Cameron and Anna Jay came out. They had wooden boards. And we see matches like this all the time in this company. I feel like every other match they do is some form of hardcore match. Again, you just kind of get numb to it. I get numb to it after a while. Anna started throwing chairs into the ring. Bain wasted no time in attacking Harley Cameron, setting her up on a chair in the corner. Ford drove Jay into the barricade. Bain missed a corner cannonball through a chair. And then Megan no-sold a board shot by Anna, so Harley decked her with a pipe to the back. She was laying some pipe here on Megan Bain, and she was taking shots back and forth between these two women. She was taking pipe shots. She was taking chair shots, ping-ponging her back and forth. She never went down, and she ended up taking both baby faces out with a double clothesline. So Harley avoided a suplex, and she delivers a drop toe hold to Megan into the golden chair. Anna hits a snap drop kick on the chair right into Megan's face. And the crowd begins chanting for tables. And they didn't have to wait very long because the baby faces pulled one out. They started setting it up outside as they went into the commercial break. During the commercial, Megan recovered. She drove Anna through a table in the corner with a Death Valley driver. And Harley made the save to break up the pin, only to suffer a gut-wrench release German for her troubles. Megan wanted a uranage off the apron through the table that was set up outside. Cameron battled back. She tried a sunset bomb. And Megan held on to that top rope. She wasn't going anywhere. But here comes Anna Jay. She's got a chair. And she smacks Megan Bain in the head with the chair. And she got her hand up. But she hit her in the head with the chair. And then she lets go and falls backwards. And she ends up going through the table. Penelope catches Anna with a lung blower. Missed the standing moonsault, though, onto a chair. Cameron tried a Cazadora. This is outside the ring now. Tried a Cazadora on Megan Bain, who countered into a facebuster. A very rough-looking facebuster on the steel steps. To poor Harley Cameron here, referee Paul Turner immediately sensed doom and rushed over to check on Harley, and then immediately looked up and said, "Doc, Doc!" Called the doctor over in a panic, and the doctor came over, so it was very clear that she was hurt. Then we saw her when she got up. We saw the damage, and she was bleeding from the face, and clearly bleeding from the nose, although there was some blood in her mouth too, but it could have just come down, you know, from her nose. But she was busted open and, or, you know, busted up pretty badly. Whether or not she has a broken nose, she may have a broken nose. I don't know. I don't know if it's broken or not, but she was definitely all fucked up. And she refused help. She said, "Leave me alone. I'm going to continue." And she continued the match. So the fans rallied behind her and they started chanting, "Feel her wrath." We had a gory special connecting on Penelope by Anna Jay, but Megan made the save and then hit her Fate's Descent finish, an F5, onto a chair that was laying flat in the ring. The way Anna Jay came down on that chair face first, she immediately grabbed her face, and it looked like she was hurt, legitimately. And she rolled out of the ring, and I'm watching this, and I'm thinking, like, what is happening here in this match? You know, Harley Cameron just got her face all busted up. And not even 2 minutes later, now we have Anna Jay in the ring, and she gets busted up. Although I couldn't tell right away what, you know, how bad the damage was, but she rolled out of the ring, and then the doctor went over to go check on her. And so Harley Cameron was left all by herself. Inside, Bane got Harley up on her shoulders. Penelope Ford went up to the top rope. And the goal here was to hit something of a doomsday device, is basically what they were going for. The only problem is Penelope Ford comes off the top rope with a clothesline or whatever. She's going to give Harley a shot off Megan's shoulders. She completely whiffed. I don't think she made, I can't even say she had only a glancing blow. From my vantage point, she got no blow. She didn't even make contact. I don't know how she missed this woman. I have no idea how that happened. And so Megan fell backwards. And, you know, what she was going to do anyway. And she dropped Harley backwards in an electric chair. And then she covered her and she got the win for the heels. First of all, the minute I first saw that they were doing this match and they were advertising this match earlier in the day, I knew, like, to me, it just felt like, okay, this is being booked to give them their win back because they lost on the buy-in on Sunday. And so now they want to give the heels a big win to follow up on the loss, and that's exactly what they did here, because, you know, they won the match. Second of all, Harley Cameron may well have gotten her nose broken on the steel steps. Anna Jay got her face wrecked. So I didn't mention, you know, when Anna stood up, the match was over, and you can get a clear view of her face was not as messed up as Harley's was, but you saw blood on her nose as well. So I don't think her nose is broken, but, you know, she also got hurt on that spot in the ring, on that Fate's Descent. And Harley, you know, she insisted on finishing the match. Hat tip to her. You know, she's a tough one, but they do so many of these hardcore style matches and all the weapons and all the garbage matches. Something like this is bound to happen, especially when you have people in this match who are not accustomed to doing stipulation matches like this. I mean, some of them are. I mean, look, Megan Bain is wrestling matches in GCW. I'm sure she's done stuff worse than this, but you know, Harley Cameron, Anna Jay, like how often really are they doing matches like this? And so they're out there with tables and chairs and all this stuff, and they're using the steps and they're using this and that and pipes. And this is sometimes what ends up happening here. You know, accidents happen. Two in one match back to back like that is kind of rare. But that's what we got here. Hopefully nothing too serious. And the Doomsday Device finish looked fucking terrible. I'm sorry. That just looked awful. So the effort was there, but yeah, this was a bit of a mess. They showed Mercedes Moné outside the building. She was arriving in a lowrider here in El Paso, of all places, holding all of her titles in the air, all 16 titles, holding them up in the air as she was sitting in the back seat. So we would see her later in the show. Then we had the Trios champions. We had the Ops, Samoa Joe, Powerhouse Hobbs, and Katsuyori Shibata. And they took on the Frat House. Now, the Frat House, if you've never heard of the Frat House, which is probably 100% of you in this chat right now, the Frat House is a Ring of Honor group. They've wrestled on Ring of Honor TV. They've been on Ring of Honor TV, which is probably why you've never heard of them. Preston Vance, Griff Garrison, Cole Carter. Wasn't Cole Carter the Tony D guy that they whacked from NXT after they let him go? I think he was. Then it was down to just Tony D and Stax, but there used to be a third guy. I don't remember what he was called. That's Cole Carter, I'm pretty sure. And Jacked Jameson. I have no fucking idea who Jacked Jameson is, but he was certainly the most jacked of the group, hence the name, and he's the one who did the talking here once they came down to the ring. Now, before they got into the ring, they showed footage of the Frat House partying at various bars in El Paso. So once they were in the ring, Jacked Jameson begins running down the crowd. And they have pledges, you know, quote-unquote pledges that are in the ring holding a Frat House flag. Samoa Joe is standing there, and he has this priceless look on his face. Like, he doesn't know what to make of all this. Shibata had the same look. Like, he's watching this, and he's like, I don't know. I don't know what the fuck is going on here. So Preston Vance got in Joe's face. That did not end well for Preston Vance. This lasted 3 minutes, which honestly was longer than I thought it was going to last. Hobbs dished out some spine busters to everybody, put Cole Carter away with one as he jumped off the top rope. And that was the end of the Frat House. Back to the Frat House for these four. It was a squash for the Ops. You know, some people are going to make hay about this. Why are these guys on TV? It's a fucking squash. Like, who cares? You know, they come out, they have this obnoxious gimmick. You've got Samoa Joe and Powerhouse Hobbs in the ring, who then turn around and beat the shit out of these guys. Okay, there's nothing wrong with it. It's fine. I enjoy a good Samoa Joe squash match every now and then. That's all this was. Didn't overstay its welcome. It was harmless. The Frat House is the kind of group that I would expect to see like on NXT. Right? They have Chase U and they have the Family and they have, you know, some of the factions there are, I don't know, just a little. They seem so ridiculous, but yet, like, Chase U was a great gimmick that got over in NXT. I don't think it would last on the main roster. I've always said that. So, like, that's what the Frat House feels like. It's something you would see on, like, a show other than Dynamite, basically. It could be Collision. It could be Ring of Honor. But you would never ordinarily see it on Dynamite. And if you saw it on Dynamite, this is how you would see it. A group like this, it ain't going to work on the main show. It ain't going to work. But it was harmless enough. I'll tell you what I was more confused by. You want to do a squash match? That's fine. I would like to know where the follow-up was with Hook. Where was the follow-up with Hook? Hook came out at Anarchy in the Arena on Sunday. In the middle of all of that chaos, Hook came down to the ring in a hoodie, helped the babyfaces. At one point, he gave them the assist. Samoa Joe smiled and said, "Hey, come on in." And Hook looked at him and went, "Nah," and he left. And so you can tell that there's going to be tension there now that Hook is back. And where's that going to go, right? Okay, well, he left. And it keeps you wondering, like, well, I better tune into Dynamite. If you actually give a shit and you want to know where this is going to go, I got to tune into Dynamite this week. And there was nothing. Hook wasn't there. We got no follow-up. Maybe there will be at the taping, because they're taping Collision tonight. I believe they're taping Collision tonight. It's possible they're saving it for Collision, but we had the ops on this show. And you want to do a 3-minute squash, that's fine. But then take the next 4 or 5 minutes to do some sort of follow-up involving Hook. And they gave us nothing here. Even just a talking segment. I'm not saying anything physical or anything like that, but like a promo or Samoa Joe calling him out. Come on out to the ring. Maybe then Hook doesn't show up, but there was nothing. So I thought that was very odd that we didn't get any follow-up here. We had Renee Paquette in the ring after this. And Renee was out to introduce Jamie Hayter, the loser from the women's Owen Hart final on Sunday, a Double or Nothing. She comes out to the ring and Renee brings up the fact that she lost at the pay-per-view. She was unsuccessful. And she asks, what's next for her? And before Jamie could even answer, the lights go out. And then the lights come back on and they're showing like the Titantron screen. And on the big screen, we see the spider. Because over the last several weeks, there's been that little spider that's come down, little spider graphic. And people pretty much figured out, you know, who that was in reference to. But this was her debut. So on the screen, they show the spider. And it says, the toxic spider, Tekla. This was the debut of Tekla. Now, if you don't know who Tekla is, I don't know too much about her myself. I've seen a couple of matches just in checking. Beyond that, I can't say that I know too much about the woman, but she's been signed with Stardom for the last few years, and she became a free agent. People were wondering where she was going to sign. We saw Julia, you know, end up in WWE, and we've seen WWE scoop up a lot of people. Is she going to go there? Is she going to end up in AEW? And then we heard the reports that she was likely already signed to AEW. It's like, hey, Tony got one. And so it was just a matter of when are they going to debut her and what's her first program going to be? Well, now we know. But, they put the spider logo, right, up on the screen. And it says the toxic spider. And she comes out to attack Jamie Hayter. The only problem is they cut back to the ring. Jamie is already down on the mat and Tekla is standing over her. They missed the initial attack. We didn't see it. We didn't see shit. They cut back to the ring. She's already on her back. So then Jamie gets back up and Tekla wipes her out with a forearm shot. So I don't know if that was the plan or if they just realized, oh shit, do it again because we didn't get it on camera. How do you miss that? How do you miss that? You had one job. This woman is making her debut. The lights come back on. You're showing the ring. This woman is standing behind Jamie. Jamie has no idea. She turns around. She gets wiped out. Like, how fucking difficult is that? So anyway, she wipes out Jamie after the fact. And then Tekla gets on the mat and she does a little spider pose, which is basically like the Bray Wyatt crab walk pose. So she did that. On commentary, they said that Tekla was fired from Stardom with cause. Hey, she has something in common with CM Punk. Fired with cause for striking not just the company official, but also the president of the company. Punk almost did that too. President even said that he feared for his life. Today's episode is sponsored by Hims. Do me a favor, close your eyes. Now I want you to imagine what you'll look like in 6 months. More importantly, what your hair is going to look like 6 months from now. Now picture your hair if you started using Hims. Imagine yourself with thicker, fuller hair. That's what I like to call the Hims effect. Think of all the things you could do in 6 months. If you're a wrestler, you could break your leg and spend 6 months rehabbing to get back, but that's no fun. You could find some new hobbies, but you may end up quitting on them if you're not very good at them. I mean, hell, you could go on a bunch of dates and end up in a relationship that's already over in 6 months. Relationships come and go, after all, but your hair is the last thing you want to see come and go. But with Hims, you can start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth in just 3 to 6 months. Guys, life just seems to get busier and busier. It's easy to feel like you don't even have time to try, but you should try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through hoops and get access right away to treatment without ever leaving your home. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple, with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized, chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits, no waiting rooms. This all takes the stress out of the process. Just answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. And if prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/solomonster. That's hims.com/solomonster for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/solomonster. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information. Then they quickly cut to a Mystico video ahead of their upcoming Arena Mexico debut on Dynamite coming up on June 18th. You just had this woman, right, who made her debut. And by the way, if they did that on purpose, like if that was an intentional thing, I just think that was fucking stupid. So I'm just going to assume, that they didn't want it done that way and they just missed the shot. Because I actually think it's even worse the other way. Why would you do that? Yeah, that was very dumb. But anyway, so you just had, right? You just had this woman make her debut in this segment. And I swear, this director, I could just pick, like, hear Tony probably on headset, like, all right, switch, Mystico package. Like, they cut away so fast, you would think it was some deadbeat dad who was dodging child support. Like, they couldn't wait to get away from this. You know, this woman just debuted. We got a shot of her for about 5 seconds, and Excalibur's like, you know, talking about fucking Mystico. And on we go. On to the next. Okay. So I wouldn't exactly call this a very impactful debut. This was not impactful in the way that it could have been. Tekla working with Jamie Hayter, it's good for her because Jamie is a known entity in the company. Jamie is a former AEW Women's World Champion. So good for Tekla. She'll probably win that match. Not so good for Jamie Hayter. Jamie Hayter lost in the Owen Hart tournament. I think she should have won. Tony Khan felt differently. So she lost, and now her first feud coming out of this is with a woman who just debuted and very likely is going to win and really should win. Really should win. What that means for Jamie Hayter going forward, I don't think it means anything good. I think the match with her and Tekla could be very good. And maybe they make a whole program out of it. Maybe they trade wins back and forth. I would assume they do this match in Texas, but who knows? That doesn't mean the first match. If this is a program, they could do 2-3 matches. This could be on the Texas card, you know, to get both women on there. I don't know when we get the first match. Because they've got some themed episodes of Dynamite coming up in the next few weeks. You got Fyter Fest, and you got the Summer Blockbuster, I think, on June 11th, and then there's Arena Mexico. You could build this up as a match for Arena Mexico. Could do it there. So it's good for Tekla. I just don't really see this in the long run being a very good thing for Jamie Hayter. I feel like she's going to just slide backwards, and I just don't really see... I don't see for her what's gained from that. You know, it's like you come to a fork in the road, and you can go left or you can go right. and you wonder what is the right path to take. And I feel like for her, she should have gone left. And Tony said, no, you're going to go right. And I think that was the wrong way to go. Now, maybe I'll be proven wrong in 3 months. In 3 months, we'll revisit this and see what Jamie Hayter is doing. I have a feeling I'm not wrong on this. And that sucks. We had... Before we get to that...
Mentos, the fresh maker.
You gotta feel good when you have yourself a Mentos. Leopoldo, I'm feeling... Oh my God.
Mentos, the fresh maker.
You know what's better than one Mentos? Two. Two is better than one. You know, you can't have too much of a good thing. I don't want to have the whole package. I mean, I thought one Mentos was good. Now I got two. I'm going to be... Remember the first Batman movie where they all had the laughing gas? Big smiles on their faces and they're all laughing? A few more Mentos and that's going to be me. Leopoldo, thank you. Eminem, thank you both. You guys rock. 5 out of 10, by the way, on that bonus goal in the chat. We're halfway there for Double B the Booker. We'll see if we get there. Let's get to this, though. We had Adam Cole against Kyle Fletcher. This was for the AEW TNT Championship in a match that was only announced earlier this afternoon. I had this penciled in as the TNT title match for All In. And then I saw the graphic on Twitter and I said, oh, they're doing it tonight. Doesn't mean they still can't do it at All In. Early in the match, Cole teased the Panama Sunrise. Roppongi Vice made the save. Roderick Strong and Kyle O'Reilly ran down and fought Beretta and Romero to the back. And that distraction allowed Kyle Fletcher to attack Adam Cole and deliver a disgusting and very stupid apron powerbomb on the outside of the ring. And Cole's head barely clipped the edge of the ring. You see apron power bombs in a lot of cases, and you know, upper shoulders, mid back, you know, maybe takes the brunt of the impact, sometimes the neck. This one, it looked like he got just enough of the apron, but it was like a grazing blow, which somehow made it look even worse and even more dangerous than any other apron power bomb that you would normally see. And I saw this and I said, my first thought is, fuck, I hope he's okay. And the referee, you know, immediately rushed over to go check on him. It was violent. It was a fucking stupid thing to do to a man who his career legitimately was almost over due to a very bad concussion. He's had a couple of very bad concussions. And that last one sidelined him for a very long time. He missed a good chunk of his career. And I just don't understand. And whose idea was it? It was mutually agreed upon between these two. Was it a Fletcher thing and he pitched it and Cole said, let's do it? Was it Cole's idea? I don't know and I don't care. It really doesn't matter. It was a very stupid thing to do. And I just don't understand in a situation like this. Now, look, you could be concussed doing anything in the ring, right? You get into the ring, it is a dangerous place to be. You could get concussed on a body slam. You could get concussed on a fucking clothesline, right? It could happen on anything. But why with a guy with a documented history of concussions that nearly ended his career, would you even bother trying a move like that? Like, why would you even bother doing it in an Adam Cole match? I don't understand that. Like, what is to be gained from that? But then you see, like, the way this one landed, and, you know, he got very lucky because he was okay and the match continued. We assume he's okay. I mean, with concussions, who the fuck knows? You know, it's not like a gash on the back of his head. But I'm just watching this, like, what the fuck, man? Like, what are we doing here? Very stupid. Cole tried battling back when things came back from break. Fletcher hit a spinning body slam. Fletcher opted to pose. That delay allowed Cole to hit a super kick. Panama Sunrise was countered into a roll-up, only for two. Fletcher popped up with a snap German. and a running boot in the corner. Yeah. Yeah. Just looking at the chat. I mean, look, was it Mick Foley? I mean, it's Mick Foley. God knows how many concussions he's had in his life. But it wasn't that long ago. Foley, you know what it was? Foley was going to have a retirement match. That's what it was. Foley, I think, on his 60th birthday, said that he wanted to have a match, like a death match. One last death match. And he started training. He was going to drop weight. Posted a whole video about it. And then he posted another video saying that it's not happening because somehow he was diagnosed with another concussion. And he has no idea how he got it. So even outside the ring, like, again, it doesn't take a whole lot sometimes. In his case, I mean, he's a different situation altogether just based on his injury history. But it's true. I mean, you can get a concussion in a lot of different situations. But I just, when you have a guy with that kind of history, I'm just puzzled why you would even attempt something like that when it's completely unnecessary. Like, it adds nothing to the match. It's not like I'm going to watch a match between Adam Cole and Kyle Fletcher and think, yeah, you know what, the match was all right, but you know what it was missing? It was missing an apron powerbomb. I can't really give this match more than 3.5 stars, but boy, if they had that apron powerbomb, that easily 4.5 stars. Like, no one is saying that. No one is saying that. Fletcher wanted a brain buster. Cole countered into a last shot and a Panama Sunrise. Then he lowered the knee pad. He looked for the boom. Josh Alexander at this point sprints into the ring. He attacks Cole for the disqualification. Fletcher and Alexander, they're putting the boots now to Cole. And I'm watching this going, well, boy, you know, Kyle Fletcher is awfully forgiving because, yes, I mean, it looked like he was probably about to eat a knee strike. But he also just lost the potential to win the TNT championship here. But he's working with Alexander to put the boots to this guy until Brody King's music hits. And Brody King comes out charging to the ring with a chair. Alexander and Fletcher bailed. There was a scheduled match tonight coming up between Brody King and Josh Alexander, hence why they did this like this. We got a rare DQ finish. That's kind of the big story here, outside of that dumb spot. We got a rare disqualification. We get disqualifications all the time on WWE television. That's one of my pet peeves about WWE television. Although they don't call it. Usually they don't announce anything. They just ring the bell and they don't even announce what the actual finish of the fucking match is. But we get more finishes like this on the other show typically. So it's a relatively rare thing to see this on AEW TV. So it is still very possible, I'm thinking, as I'm watching this, like, all right, we could still do Fletcher and Cole. There was no winner here. We'll get back to this. Maybe it's Texas. Maybe it's before Texas. But, you know, I'm sure we'll get another one of these. Because what we got here was good. It was good up until the finish, which, you know, ruined it. But what we got here before that was good between these two. When they came back, Brody King and Josh Alexander were waiting patiently, or maybe not so patiently, in the ring. There were like two bulls ready to charge. Until the bell rang, and then they went right to their match, which was to decide who moves on to next week's four-way for the International Championship involving Kenny Omega. They threw security out of the ring. They started slugging it out. After a break, King managed to release German suplex. He tried a lariat with the bad arm that was worked over before the break, and it didn't really have that much effect. So he threw one with the left arm, and that led to a double down. Now both men go up in the corner, and the top turnbuckle pad got removed in the struggle here. That allowed Alexander to drive King's bad arm down onto the steel. Alexander wanted a suplex on the apron. Brody locked on a sleeper. Alexander wrenched the bad arm and connected on a German on the edge of the ring. Alexander tried to mock Brody by doing the running charge that Brody usually does. Up against the barricade. King, though, got a boot up, and then he hit a charging crossbody of his own. Back inside, King wanted his corner cannonball. Alexander moved. He got the ankle lock applied. And there was an arm trap German suplex out of the corner by Josh Alexander, who got busted open badly. A above his eye as King landed right on top of his face. A lot of people on this show tonight got their faces all fucked up. You could add Josh Alexander to that list. And you could, honestly, you could add Chad Gable to that list. Because remember, he got his face fucked up by Vikingo on Raw Monday night. So it was a bad week. It was a bad week in terms of that. But up top, Alexander wanted a moonsault. King got the knees up and he hit a King Kong lariat. And then he answered with a gonzo bomb for the win. And Taz said that it looked like Alexander got hit in the face with a bowling ball. He's not kidding. There was a lot of blood. Not quite as much blood as we saw in the match with Mark Briscoe and Ricochet on Sunday, but he got busted pretty good here. The last time these two men met one-on-one was on Collision, the beginning of the month, and they went to a 15-minute time limit draw. Here, there was no such outcome. We had a decisive winner, and that winner, shockingly, was Brody King. I was not expecting Brody King to win this match. Maybe a DQ, but again, how often do we get those in AEW? This was a surprise. This was a pleasant surprise. Brody King is one of those guys. He comes out. He's all tatted up. He's a big, nasty-looking guy. He's out there. He's always looks like he's murdering people. But he never wins the big match. He puts up a good fight, but he never wins the big match. So I had no reason to come into this thinking that he was going to win this, especially Josh Alexander is still the new guy there. And he's got the backing of the Callis family. They're not really doing anything with Brody King right now until Buddy Matthews gets back. So it was a pleasant surprise to see him go over here in this match. And so he now punches his ticket to that fatal four-way match on the show next week for the international title. And the action we got here was really good. You know, yeah, it sucks he got busted open, but all the action around that was very good. These two went out there and they had a slugfest. Now in the back, Kyle Fletcher was angry, said that he doesn't need anybody's help to beat Adam Cole. And right now he should be standing here before us as the TNT champion. So Adam Cole showed up, he attacked him, and the two of them had to be separated. Cole kept saying he had him beat. I had you beat. You're dead. You're dead. Cole is lucky he's not dead after that apron bomb. So again, it's very clear we're going to be getting at least one rematch between these two. And the next man to hold the TNT championship should be Kyle Fletcher. Whenever they want to do it, whether it's in a few weeks, whether it's in July in Texas, Kyle Fletcher is your next TNT champion. Bring some gold into the Callis family. And hell, at some point, if you want to, when you're ready to take the titles off the Hurt Syndicate, when things go south with them and MJF and the inevitable happens, because I was thinking about this, like if not FTR, who would the titles go to next? When you look at the landscape of tag teams right now in AEW, who beats the Hurt Syndicate? You do have Alexander and Takeshita in the Callis family. So in the next few months, we could end up with a scenario where Josh Alexander and Konosuke Takeshita are tag team champions, and Kyle Fletcher is the TNT champion. Very possible. Then we had the closing segment here on this show. Mercedes Moné out to the ring to close things for her face-off with the AEW Women's World Champion Timeless Toni Storm. And Mercedes says that she now stands before us as the greatest TBS champion and RevPro champion of all time, but also as the greatest winner of the Owen Hart tournament. She said that legends like Owen Hart and her hero, Eddie Guerrero, who was actually from El Paso, so that was appropriate to get an Eddie Guerrero name drop on the show. She came in to the arena in the lowrider, so that was her little tribute to him. But she said legends like Owen Hart and Eddie Guerrero, they can't compare to the greatness of Mercedes Moné. So she was interrupted by Toni Storm, who placed her women's world title on the mat like a dividing line in between the two of them. Mercedes said that these fans are sick of the black and white. They want a champion full of color. Toni said that she's waited so long for her, 441 days ago, Mercedes Moné arrived in AEW on a show named after herself. And since then, she has won titles, she has made history, and she's remained undefeated. But she has never once spoke to her. She has never once looked at her. She says she's been watching her since before she even came. Mercedes, she's referring to Mercedes. Said that she's been watching Tony before since even coming to AEW. And she told Anthony Khan that this was the one match that she wanted to have. So, darling, what took you so long? And Mercedes said, patience, darling. Patience. This is not about Tony. It's about her and her legacy. She called herself the Beyonce of wrestling. Women's wrestling. Tony, do you not know who I am? I am the standard. I am the conversation. I am the conversation. Wait a minute. Doesn't Charlotte say that? I just realized Mercedes called herself the conversation. Isn't that something Charlotte Flair has been calling herself on TV? Huh. Anyway, she said, I am the standard. I am the conversation. I am the blueprint. I am the revolution. I am a revolutionary. I am a visionary. Soon she'll be coming out and the entire crowd will be going, oh. Should jack everybody's gimmick while we're at it. Tony said that she's the Tony Storm of pro wrestling and Mercedes has never met anyone like her. Mercedes said, you're right. This girl, the shy, nervous Tony Storm that she met 10 years ago, this girl is very different. But she is not a boss anymore. She's a CEO now. And at All In Texas, she's bringing it home, and they're going to have the greatest women's match of all time. So Tony said, you know, the two of them, they have many similarities. They both started very young. They both started on the indies. They were given flowers and trophies, and when that wasn't enough, they left it all behind to follow their hearts. And in AEW, they became exactly who they are meant to be. But there's just one glaring difference. While Mercedes wants all the titles, she only needs one. Looking down at the women's world title on the mat, she has lived for this, she has cried for this, she has bled for this, she has died for this. Ooh. Zombie Tony Storm. So if she wants to ride the money train through the Tony tunnel, she just hopes that she can get deep enough. Mercedes said, not even Tony's hips are wide enough for the money train. 45 days from now, Tony said they will meet again in Texas, and somewhere in the world, a little girl with big dreams will be watching. And she will say, holy shit, these bitches are crazy. And then she will find out who the better woman is. Mercedes, I sincerely believe that you are the greatest of all time. But, unfortunately for you, I happen to be timeless. And Mercedes said that she may call herself timeless, but what she deserves is for her time to come to an end. See you at All In. And Tony told her, see you at All In. And it ended with Mercedes throwing her titles down. And she extends her hand for a handshake. Tony accepts. They pull each other in real close. And Tony gives her a sniff, like a dog. And then she kissed her on the hand. Mercedes then tried to hit her with the Moné Maker. Tried to get her in that backpack position, but Tony avoided it. Tried to hit Storm Zero. And Mercedes bailed out of the ring. And then Tony, I think, was dancing and gyrating in the ring to close the show. 45 days. 45 days is going to feel like a fucking lifetime if they don't come up with some really interesting stuff for these two to be doing between now and then. We've seen this has been an issue before with Mercedes in particular and some of the feuds that she's had, where if there's a huge gap in between shows and, you know, between her next big match and the last one, I don't know, it could be tough creatively for them to come up with stuff that I find particularly interesting. So I hope they don't have an issue here with that. I mean, Tony Storm is obviously very entertaining, and there's any number of skits or segments they could come up with for her. But 45 days, 7 weeks. We still have 7 weeks before we even get the first match. And maybe at some point we'll get the obligatory can they coexist match. We'll get a contract signed. Like, they'll hit every wrestling trope that you can. But this is a big match. Like, nobody is denying that this is the biggest possible women's match, given the current roster, that AEW could do. It's not the match I was hoping to see in Texas. But is it the biggest possible match? Yes, it is. Toni Storm is their women's world champion. She's their women's world champion. She's their biggest star in that division. Mercedes is undefeated. If Toni is the biggest star, Mercedes is number two. Or maybe Toni is 1A and Mercedes is 1B. Just based on the booking and how strong she's been kept now for over a year. So this match was inevitable at some point. But I still feel like it was a missed opportunity, though, to not, you know, kind of split them away from each other and have Toni do something with Jamie or somebody else and then have Mercedes defend her title, which she's not doing on this show. She's going in as the champion, but she's not defending her title, and defend the TBS title against Athena. Now, I understand with Athena, it's dead. It's over. That ship has sailed. Wave goodbye. It's like the cruise ship taking off for the week. Okay, goodbye. I don't understand it. I'll never understand it. I asked a question on my stream the other night. Why is it that we get to see Bandido, the Ring of Honor world champion, make appearances here and there on AEW TV? Why is it that we can see Dustin Rhodes and Sammy Guevara wrestling for the titles on the fucking pay-per-view on Sunday? Why is it that all these other Ring of Honor champions can freely make appearances on AEW television, but unless there's a very specific tournament, this other woman, we never see her? One day we'll know. One day that story will come out. If whose idea it is, it could be a very simple explanation. I don't know. Whatever it is, I'm just flabbergasted by it. But there was definitely more juice left between those two. There was more gas in that tank. And on a big stage like Texas, in a big stadium, you know, they'll probably have 25,000 people when all is said and done, and they get to, you know, game day. That's the way I would have gone with it. They opted to go a different way. As a segment, this was a fine start, which is all this was. This was an introduction. This segment was an introduction between these two women. The first time we've seen them formally, you know, interact like this on TV. And they got all the pleasantries out of the way. And again, the Mutual Admiration Society stuff. You and I are a lot alike in our backgrounds. And, you know, we both left somewhere else to go chase our dreams. And so we got all of that here. And now we move on to the heat phase. And what can we do here to really heat things up between these two women? Maybe make this more of a personal rivalry. That's what I'm waiting to see now. What these segments are going to look like over these next several weeks. But it's a big match. You know, there's no doubt about that. But I come back to this. I look at this as a no-win situation. I look at it as a no-win situation because let's game this out here. They go to Texas. The title is on the line. Only Toni's title, right? Toni Storm beats Mercedes Moné. And she hands Mercedes her very first loss. Now, she doesn't win the TBS title, but the TBS champion has now been beaten, right? The aura is damaged. Like when the Undertaker streak was over, he was still the Undertaker, but he's no longer undefeated at WrestleMania. It's not the same. And in that case, like, they went with Brock in that case. I remember how divisive that was. Like, oh, he doesn't need it. Why would you go with him? If you're going to do it with somebody else who can get the rub. And I look at this and I go, if Toni Storm beats Mercedes after she's been undefeated at that point for 15 months, what does she get out of it? What does she get out of it? Why does she need to be the one to beat Mercedes? So I look at it and go, this is Mercedes' match to lose. Like, she's going to win in Texas. And then if she wins, it's also a no-win situation because now she's got all the titles. You're just feeding her titles. Seriously, it's like some sort of a gremlin after midnight. Oh, don't feed the gremlins after midnight. And they just keep feeding her. And they're feeding her all these championships. She got the Owen Hart title now. And she's got her Rev Pro title. And she's got the TBS title. She had the New Japan Strong title, but now that's gone, but maybe she'll get it back. She'll go to Texas. She wins. Okay, now what? Now what? Now you have two women's titles on the same fucking person. All of these other women have nothing to fight for. That's where we are right now. You know, you see the no disqualification women's tag team match we had on the show. Megan Bain and Penelope Ford, they've been a team lately. Anna Jay and Harley Cameron, they've been a team lately. Why are we seeing this? Tony Khan was asked about this in the days leading up to Double or Nothing. Are we going to see women's tag team titles in AEW? He didn't say no. It sure sounded like we're going to be getting women's tag team titles soon. Of course we are, because these women have nothing to fight for. Mercedes has blown through everybody else in the division, even people who are not in the division. They brought somebody else from a different division, and she beat her, and then that woman went back to the division. So she's beaten everybody. She's 27-0. By the time she gets to Texas, she'll probably be 30, 31, 32-0. But if she wins, I don't see what the end game is here that's really going to benefit the division. Or it's really going to be like, who does this benefit? I'm failing to see who this benefits. That's why I say it's a no-win situation no matter who wins this match. So like, why even do the match? Why do it now? Maybe there's a vision here that I'm not seeing. Maybe there's some grand plan here where somebody else gets over in the process, that first person, whoever it is, who beats Mercedes. And maybe they'll win the TBS title. But as long as you've got these two women locking up these two championships, like the TBS title should be that title that, you know, other people have the ability to fight for, because the women's world title is otherwise occupied at the top of the card. And now you're just lumping the two of them together. It's not a unification match, but it may as well be. If Mercedes is going to win, it may as well be a unification match. No wonder they want to introduce women's tag team titles. I can actually understand why. At least they would have something to fight for. Right now, they have nothing. As far as this show overall, I thought it was a solid show. It was not a very good show. It wasn't a terribly exciting show. It fell off after the opening segment. They set the table for a couple of things, you know, as we march towards the stadium show in July. I really enjoyed the story they were telling, though, in that first segment. Everything else was very, got some good wrestling, but okay. We get good wrestling every week. Give me more. This was the beginning. This was the first show coming out of Double or Nothing, and now things will begin to ramp up for Texas. Now let's talk about next week. Actually, let's talk about the next 2 weeks. Next week is Fyter Fest. They're bringing back Fyter Fest for the first time, I think, in a couple of years. Fyter Fest is a four-hour special because Collision is being bumped because of NHL playoff coverage on TNT. So what Warner Brothers Discovery has decided to do here is do a little experimentation. Let's see what happens when we air Dynamite and Collision back-to-back. And so for the next 2 weeks, it's not just next week, 2 weeks, 4 hours of AEW television from, I assume, 8 p.m. to midnight Eastern time. Yeah, I don't know about that. So I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do. Am I really going to sit here for 4 fucking hours and watch AEW from 8 to 12 and then go live? No. I'm going to watch Dynamite and then I'm going to go live. That's probably what we're going to be doing here. We're going to watch Dynamite from 8 to 10, 10:15, whatever it is, and then we'll go live. Now, of course, if Tony Khan wants to be a pain in the ass, what he'll do is, whatever the key matches are for the next 2 weeks, he'll just throw it at the end of Collision. And he'll make you sit through all 4 hours just to get to the main event. What I hope he does is he just keeps Dynamite to Dynamite and Collision to Collision. And if he does that, then we can just cover Dynamite in the normal time. If he doesn't do that, I'm probably still going to be covering Dynamite in the normal time. So if you were curious what the plan is going to be, that's the plan. I'm not sitting through 4 hours of AEW for the next 2 weeks. There's no fucking way I'm doing that. I'm telling you right now, there's no fucking way I'm doing that. So hopefully that four-way next week is going to be within the first 2 hours of the night. And that four-way that we're going to be getting next week is going to be for the International Championship. Now let's talk about Collision coming up this Saturday first. On Collision this weekend, we have Hechicero and Mascara Dorada. That's going to be a qualifying match for the International four-way next week. Claudio is going to take on Commander in the other qualifier. And we already know that Kenny Omega and Brody King have qualified. So those would be the four spots. Kenny Omega is not losing the International Championship, so this is all kind of pointless, but that's going to be the big match next week. Also on Collision this Saturday, Mina Shirakawa goes one-on-one with Sky Blue. And Roppongi Vice and Konosuke Takeshita take on Roderick Strong, Kyle O'Reilly, and Tomohiro Ishii. So that's coming up this weekend. Now you know the plan for the next 2 weeks. And then after that, June 18th, they're in Arena Mexico. I'm actually looking forward to that. I think a live Dynamite from Arena Mexico is going to be pretty fucking cool. So I'm very, very interested to see atmosphere-wise, visually, what that looks like. That's truly history in the making. You know, that's going to be a first. So because they have no pay-per-views this month, they're trying to, you know, load up with these special shows. So that's why the next 3 weeks we have Fyter Fest and Summer Blockbuster and Arena Mexico. And I wouldn't be surprised if they come up with one more after that. Maybe Blood and Guts. Maybe that last Wednesday in the month is going to be Blood and Guts. Let's take a look at the Twitter poll. What did you think of Dynamite after Double or Nothing? 41.8% thumbs up for tonight's show. 58.2% thumbs down. Who we got at number one right now on the leaderboard? I see the Winston Slip is number two. He's got the silver. Who's got the gold? Groovy Goose, if you were to put together an around the horn type show from ESPN about wrestling, what four journalists would be regulars on it? Well, I'm not a journalist, but shit, what about me? I think I would fit in well on an around the horn type show. No, you gotta have Dave on there. Just come on. How entertaining would that be? Come on. Gotta have Uncle Dave on there. No wrestling. What other wrestling journalists? Hey, John Pollock would be a good choice. Mike Johnson, a PW Insider, maybe Sean from Fightful. Is that four or is that three? Do I even know four? I don't know. Some variation of that. I think that would work. Again, he used the word journalist, so I'm being very specific. If you want to open that up to like content creators, that opens it up to any number of people. Anybody with a microphone, basically. Joseph Stewart, buy or sell, Lou Ferrigno as the Incredible Hulk or Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man? Well, you know, when it comes to Spider-Man, I am a Tobey Maguire guy. So I think I may have to go Toby on this one. Kevin says, was Triple H on board with this WWE Unreal show? Evidently he was, because if he really was not on board with it, then he wouldn't be doing it. Unless he has absolutely no say and no power whatsoever, and he's like a little lapdog and just does what he's told. I think deep down, he really does hate this shit, and he probably did feel compelled to do it. But I'm sure, you know, he collaborated with them, and they made the decision as far as like what the show looks like. Okay, we'll show this, but let's not show that. But you're pulling the curtain back so much, I mean, you're basically showing everything anyway, so. Joseph says, rest in peace to Ed Gale, who played Chucky and Howard the Duck. I did hear about that. I knew he played Chucky. I didn't know about Howard the Duck. Who was the guy who played Leprechaun? Warwick Davis. Joseph says, how would WWE have looked in 98 if Hulk Hogan had returned to WWE that year? It would have looked different. It's impossible to say how, but I think certain people who got over in 98 and 99 would not have gotten over in 98 and 99 at the level they did. I think eventually they would have. Guys like Austin and Rock, they were going to be big stars no matter what. You drop Hogan in there, it's like pulling the pin out of a grenade and rolling the grenade into the room. You know, it would have had a domino effect on a lot of different people and pushes and things that were going on, but I think in the end, the key stars still would have become the key stars for Vince. Jerome Eugenio says, all in for Monet versus Storm. It is the biggest women's match they could do, so. Not denying that. Joseph says, looking back now, do you think DDP should have been the one to get the push that Goldberg did in 98 by beating Hogan for the WCW title in 98? No. Goldberg got so incredibly white hot. I mean, you stick with Goldberg and you go with the hand that's handed to you. Fans told you this is the guy we want to get behind. Why would you not want to push Goldberg? Goldberg at his peak was as over as Austin was, but it was just a much more limited period of time. You know, he burned out pretty quick from like the peak that he was at. But when he was at his peak of popularity, say what you want to about the guy and his in-ring style, but he was fucking over. David Thiering with the $20 super chat. I understand botches happen from time to time, but that spot where Kyle Fletcher powerbombed Adam Cole into the apron, where Cole hit his head but not his body, was very disturbing. After 15 months out, that happens. Yeah, I mean, it was very stupid. It was very fucking stupid. I think I said my piece on that. I think you and I are in agreement on that, David. Hulkling 93. Tekla has a presence about her, but I couldn't help but feel Jamie looked like a geek. For her, the forearm came crashing down. It hurt inside. She didn't take a stand. She looked to hide. I don't think she was hiding. I think she just got knocked on her ass. She didn't know where she was. Mr. Team Bring It, 1, 2, 3. Who do you see returning to WWE, Ryback or Del Rio? None of the above. Eminem, with the new feature on YouTube, Bree should be the leader. As far as AEW, as much as I like Mox versus Hangman, Timeless versus Monet should be the last match. If Hangman is winning the championship, then absolutely not. If Hangman is not winning the championship, maybe. I only say maybe because it would kind of, I feel like it would give away the finish if it wasn't closing the show. But after all this time and the story they're building right now, Hangman goes in there. If he's going to win that title, you close the show with that. Period. End of story. JC Jane being the NXT Women's Champion, is she transitional or let it cook? There's nothing to be cooked. The ingredients are stale. She is a transitional champion. Lone Storm Trooper, thank you for the 1992. Duff's Vids. Which way do I go, George? Which way do I go, says John Moxley. Telling you, he came this close. He came this close from walking into that wall. He sold it like, oh, I knew what I was doing. I meant to do that. But like, he was going to walk into that wall. Surprised he didn't. Then he would have been bleeding too. Like everybody else on this show. We had at least three different people bleeding tonight. For Moxley, that's just Wednesday. Marquand, 1976. What was your earliest wrestling memory? Mine was Dusty Rhodes getting jumped in the parking lot by the Four Horsemen. That's a pretty good memory. Mine was Ricky Steamboat, his throat being crushed on the steel barricade by Randy Savage, and him being carried out on a stretcher, and me thinking that he was going to die because he couldn't breathe. That's my earliest wrestling memory. Duff's Vids, Baby Roach, what happens if they use Raid? Papa Roach. Papa Roach. Suffocation. No breathing. Don't give a fuck if I cut my arm bleeding. That's what I see. I finished it for you. You almost broke me. Almost. That was pretty good. That's Duff's Vids, ladies and gentlemen. Number one, Homo Sapien, towards the goal. Thank you, Homo Sapien. What do you call a fish with no eyes? A fish, and he left the eye out of fish. FSH. Very clever. Very clever. Thank you, Homo Sapien. Bender McSimpson. Great opening segment. Love the callback to the Young Bucks promo. I think Penelope saw the blood on Harley's face and tried to be safe on the clothesline. Yeah, look, don't do the move. Or do a shoulder tackle. Dude, she didn't touch her. Don't do the move. Just don't do it. You may be right. Maybe that's the reason why, but don't do it if that's the case. Improvise. Come up with something else. Just have Megan Bain hit her finish. Fate's Descent. Boom. Done. It's not that hard. Duff's Vids. Me. I think you're right. Wife. I didn't say anything. Me. I'm just trying to save time. Spoken like a true married man. Leopoldo with the 30. With a tear in my eye, Wolves slip thunder. Nick's face do or die. Mentos fresh as Solo, rolling. Oh, he's trying to rhyme. That's what he's doing. With a tear in my eye, Wolves slip thunder fly. Nick's face do or die, Mentos fresh as Solo, rolling like Manolo. But who's more stale, AEW or the Fed? TK books for his play, TKO to get paid. Who wins out, jury's still out, I am out. Oh my God. I don't know what I just read, but that was a lot of effort. Leopoldo, thank you. It took me a little bit there at the beginning to realize what he was doing. So I had to go back and start it over again. Eminem. After the women's note, I was trying to be nice. After the women's no DQ match, the ladies really need a Mentos. Shout out to Rigid. Now I gotta get a. It's not rigid. It's ridge. It's the ridge, not rigid. It says now I gotta get a wallet. Now that Stephanie and Jordan are heading to the main roster, who does Obi? Who does Obi drop the title to so he can join Raw? Obi-Wan? Did I? I thought I watched every segment on NXT when I went back to watch it this morning, but I didn't realize that Obi was on the NXT roster. Does he use his lightsaber during the matches?
Wow.
See, that caught me off guard. Thank you, Eminem. Obi Femi. Matt Fisher, thank you for the $4.99. no cap. Hi, Solo. Does Uncle Dave deserve said tweet versus Grock? You know, you make me very sad, no cap, because that means you didn't listen to the podcast this weekend. So you need to go back and change that. You need to go listen to Sound Off episode. What episode am I even up to? 914. I've done so many of these fucking shows. Go back and listen to episode 914. That's all I'll say. Near. Guess who's a father of three now? Oh, look at that. Baby Ido was born. How about that? Congratulations. Nier is a father of three, which just means one more Sound Off fan. The family has expanded. Congrats, my friend. All the best, health and happiness. That is very cool news. Alvaro with the $20 super chat. Adam Page becomes AEW champion at All Out. At All Out, huh? Darby and Page tag against the Hurt Syndicate at World's End. And the big reveal, Darby turns on Hangman out of jealousy that the fans are behind Page. Darby becomes a solo heel. I don't like Darby as a heel, man. I don't like Darby as a heel. Darby's just, he's a naturally likable, plucky underdog babyface. I think it would be a mistake. I think it would be a mistake to turn him. Eminem. The $25 super chat here. Brie Mode has extended for another super chat. Now I need a drink. One thing I missed last Friday when talking about Bray and Owen 5 years ago was the untimely passing of Hana Kimura. It was a sad story of what happened. It was. I talked about it at the time and how senseless and unnecessary it was. 20 years old, just gone, just like that. And for what? For what? Alex with the 25. Brother Solo, a silly question, but when a magenta or red super chat pops up on the chat, does your vision ruin the surprise or do you try to avoid seeing it? I see it if it pops up on screen. So the way I have things situated here, I normally don't see it unless I come in to check likes or something, then I might see it. But usually I try not to, so it's not in my peripheral vision, just based on the screen I have open. But sometimes it's unavoidable. I do like seeing the bright red, though. I don't mind if it ends up poking out through my peripheral vision. That's fine with me. Eminem, we are. We are, we are. The youth of a nation. David Thiering, second round of Be the Booker all around. That's right. Shots for everyone. BCOM, see clearly 4 hours. Solo, you got it for me because I'm good. I ain't got shit. I ain't sitting through 4 hours. I don't care if it's WWE or AEW. It's one thing if it's like a pay-per-view. All their pay-per-views are at least 4 hours. But, 2 weeks of television, back-to-back shows like that, yeah, you can fuck off. Duff's Vids, I applied for a job hanging mirrors. It's something I can see myself doing. Alex says, between Vince and Hogan, who has the best chance to salvage their reputation? Is it even possible? No. What Vince is accused of is far worse than anything Hogan's ever done. But their reputations are permanently damaged. Nothing will change that. And they did it to themselves. I can't even feel sorry for them. They did it to themselves. Duff's Vids. Man holding a can of Raid while at checkout. Is this good for wasps? The cashier. No, it kills them. Duff's Vids. What do you get when you cross a fish with an elephant? Swimming trunks. Not bad. Not bad. I like that one. Very much a dad joke, but I like that. Joseph, TKO equals Vader. Triple H equals Lando. I really think Cena is playing a parody of a top heel at this time. Do you think Cross is on his way out? Much love. I don't know. I honestly don't know. Let's see if he finds his way somehow into Money in the Bank. Will they at least include him in a qualifying match for Money in the Bank? But I don't know, you know, when his contract is up. I mean, there was a report out there about it, and it seems valid because I know he said on Ariel Helwani's show that he was upset that that got out, so it made it sound like it was legitimate. And what was the report? I think his contract is up in November, maybe, or something. I don't know. I don't know. Julia Hart fan with the $9.99. Let's put over homegrown talent and give Julia Hart the win for the TBS title over Mercedes. Chris, Willow, Athena are fine, but not star-making. Why not the best character aside from Storm? Star Maker. I'll triple your $9.99 if Julia Hart is the one to win the TBS championship and hand Mercedes her first loss. Also, U23. Who would you have? The GOAT, Julia Hart, Sky Blue, and Billy Starks, or any three federal agents? What the hell's U23? I'll go with the first one, but I don't know what that is. Blue Jay. Hulk is the GOAT. Wrestled 500 days in 365 days. Oh, he's very talented. Oh, under 23. I thought that was some sort of like code name for some secret, like, hit squad or something. You mentioned federal agents. I'm like, this is some kind of sniper unit? Like, what are you talking about? I think when I saw you write federal agents, it just threw me off. U23, is that like Agent 47? Like, what are we doing here? Under 23, Julia Hart, Sky Blue, and Billy Starks. Oh, no. I mean, there are others I would put in that category. There are others right now in NXT that are, I think, under 23. I think. I don't know. I don't have all their ages in front of me. Oh, look at Eminem. 5 gifted memberships. That gets an air horn. You get me some more members, you get the horn. You mess with the bull, you get the horns. Be calm, see clearly. A guy said Moxley is not a future AEW Hall of Famer. Told him that I will make him bleed into a bucket and drink it and smile in my mugshot. Don't disrespect Mox. There is no AEW Hall of Fame, though. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it, but there is no AEW Hall of Fame. The first AEW Hall of Famer should be Sting. Never got beat. Retired undefeated. Can't beat that. Julia Hart fan. Post podcast clips regularly on YouTube like you did in 2014 got me through middle school. Trade to... I already do, dude. Every single week. Multiple clips go up on the channel. Trade to AEW, who should be in WWE, and to the other way. Oh, I don't know. Pick any two. I mean, there's so many talented people in AEW right now. Mariah May is one. I think that's where exactly where she's going to end up. So Mariah May would be one. You know, I was going to say Takeshita, but I don't know if I have full faith, honestly, in Triple H to use him as well as Tony Khan has used him. I'm not sure about that. I rescind that. But Mariah May would be one. If I had to pick one on the men's side, I think Kyle Fletcher would do really well. Yeah. And from the WWE side? Well, Dragon Lee would probably have better luck here than he would in WWE. Yeah, I want more Takeshita too, brother. Takeshita is great. Wardlow. Randall says Wardlow. Does he even wrestle anymore? I hear he's an accountant now. Leopoldo, as with jokes and rhymes, it's often in the delivery, but I'm just a wannabe rapper anyway, and I digress. Because speaking of delivery, congrats to Nier. Yes, congrats to Nier. Baby number three. Eminem, thank you for the gift and memberships. Duff's Vids. What kind of cars do eggs drive? A yokes wagon. What type of car do chickens drive? A coupe. Okay, see, the coupe, that works. A yokes wagon. Hold on a second here. That was awful. That was awful. I don't like that one. The coupe is okay. The yokes wagon, you get the flush. Aaron wasn't able to watch Dynamite tonight, so here's something off topic. Better Ed O'Neill role, Al Bundy or Jay Pritchard? Oh, Al Bundy. How is that even a question? I think I can guess your answer already. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think you can. I think you can. Aaron, thank you for the 10. Havili. Besides Ortiz and Santana, what other tag team should have won the AEW tag team titles? Who's, in your opinion, the biggest what-if in wrestling? Oh, I don't... Jesus Christ, these questions. My God, I don't know what the biggest what-if in wrestling is. I'm not going to say in terms of talent. I think the biggest what-if in wrestling... I don't know if it's the biggest, but in terms of what-ifs in wrestling, I think had they, you know, gone through with their plans to do a proper WCW relaunch in 2001... which was the original plan, as opposed to the invasion storyline they did, how would that have looked? How long would they have committed to it? Could they have built to a big supercard? Was there a future for WCW as a separate brand under the WWE umbrella? That's a what if I think of. What if Montreal never happened and Brett stuck around? In terms of not only his career in WWE, but in terms of his health. Right? Big what if right there. I mean, there's any number of what. What if Bruiser Brody had lived? You know, would he have gone on to work a program with Hogan in WWE? You know, Jim Ross has told the story about being in the men's room back in the 80s and overhearing a conversation among promoters. I think it was at the NWA convention of people who wanted to kill Vince McMahon. What if they would have done it? What if they would have whacked Vince? What would the business look like? Eminem, since you got HOG the same night as Money in the Bank, have you thought about doing a special live stream Sunday evening? or do it on 9/15? I mean, I've thought about it, but I don't think it's going to work out. So I got to do a war. I got to try to catch Worlds Collide at some point. I don't know if I don't know when I'll be able to watch that, but most likely it'll just be you know, the usual podcast on Sunday, and we'll save the money in the bank review for the podcast. That's the working plan right now, because I will not be here that Saturday. So not only am I missing Money in the Bank, I'm missing Worlds Collide as well. But that's the way it goes sometimes. What are you going to do? Julia Hart fan, as a punk fan who got out of wrestling in 2014 and a listener on and off since 2012, and you being the only one I pay for, I will mark for Hart and Bliss. Julia Hart and Alexa Bliss, there's a tag team. Like a dark tag team. A team with dark powers. You can mark for whoever you want, man. It's a free country. Be calm, see clearly. I'm a survivor of a GSW to the head, and I want to say this community is like family. Thank you, Solo, and everybody. Depression, PTSD ain't no joke. Well, I'm glad that you're doing well now, and you absolutely have a community here that welcomes you with open arms. You're always welcome here. We are very happy to have you. Rojo Bear just left the show. Had a great time. It's always fun to be at the shows. I didn't know Rojo Bear was an El Paso guy. Avili with the 13. There was a question on Facebook a couple of weeks ago on who Triple H should have replaced on Team WWF. Who would he replace? Angle, Kane, Jericho, Austin, or Taker? And would he most likely join the Alliance? I always figured that the spot that went to Kurt as the mole would have gone to Triple H. We'll never know. So if that's the case, then it would have been Angle. Yeah, he got hurt. Boy, he was able to avoid that literally the entire invasion period. He missed the entire invasion period. Big Bill could be WWE bound. I don't know what Big Bill's contract status is. Who's to say? Would he be better off there? Probably. He's a big guy. He can talk. Talented. I think he would fare pretty well. Even get like an NXT run first. I could see him as an NXT champion, just, you know, ripping it up in the division down there for 6 months or a year before they call him up to the main roster. All right, let's take a look at your likes total here. The likes total is up 466. We hit our other goal as well. So we gotta get ready for two rounds. First, Oz and Glorious, though, our blue skull. One of our resident blue skulls in the chat. A little late tonight, but much love to Be Calm, See Clearly. This is a great community. Thanks for bringing us together, Solomonster. I am proud of this community that we have built, whether it's the Facebook group, whether it's here on the YouTube channel. It's all over the place. Sound off is everywhere. But Aaron, my goodness, with the $50 bomb coming in late here, with all of the PLEs and pay-per-views and your HOG obligations coming up, just want to say how much you're appreciated. I usually listen to the podcast and streams throughout my work week, but always enjoy showing some love on nights like this when I can pop in. Thank you, Solo. Aaron, that means a lot to me. It really does. I know Aaron does pop in from time to time, and when he does, he usually makes it very well known, which I appreciate. But yeah, there's a lot going on. I'm not getting a lot of sleep, which is not good. But that's on me. I have to figure out how to navigate that. So it's a lot of work, but I enjoy it. You guys, as long as you guys enjoy it, I'll be here. It's what I do. It's what I have a passion for. Hopefully that comes through in everything I do. even on those very late nights that we have sometimes where it gets very exhausting after all this wrestling, but I always have fun hanging out with you guys, and I very much appreciate the support. So, Aaron, thank you. All right, here we go. It is time, ladies and gentlemen. Without any further ado, let's get to it.
Ladies and gentlemen,
ah, there he is again.
Now time to be the Booker.
Forgot I put him up there. Ah, the learning tree. The learning tree. Round number one. Yeah, we had a night of Be the Booker. I don't know if it was the last, was it Monday or maybe Sunday? Sunday or Monday? Where we had, it was literally like we had a clean sweep and then we had a clean sweep, but they were two very different sweeps. Let's hope we could do even better than that tonight. We have the team of Hulk Hogan and Edge, who, yes, in 2002, they were tag team champions there for a few weeks. Hogan and Edge. Edge with his childhood hero. He was sitting in the Sky Dome at WrestleMania 6, rooting for Hulk Hogan when he lost to the Ultimate Warrior. Oh, the barbed wire. That's right. Yeah, oh, my God. That's right. Be the Booker the other night, man. It went sadistic. If you missed that, you should have seen the stipulations that this thing was picking out. Oh, my God. Everything was barbed wire. Everybody was being ripped to shreds. Hulk Hogan and Edge against the Hart Foundation. How does that get anything but a bell? Come on. See Bret Hart get in there and start shooting on Hogan. This is for 93. Bitch. We have Lana joining us in Be the Booker. Happy Lana Day. Ugh. Hikaru Shida against Lana. That's a no from me. Main event time. Our first of two main events. Nick Aldis. Nick Aldis. What's causing all this? All right. SmackDown general manager is putting the boots back on. Nick Aldis against Andrade is our main event. Let's move on. I'm not thrilled with what we just did. I hope we can do better in round two. Now we will pick stipulations. I see the Winston slip is still number three on the leaderboard here. In the chat, Fire Panda number two. Who's number one? Is it still Maze? All right, stipulation, the... Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no.
Oh, you got me, brother.
The Hulkster is here for the Yappa Pie strap match. Not just a strap match, it's a Yappa Pie strap match. If you're not aware of what that is, then count yourself as one of the lucky ones that you weren't watching WCW at that time. Can we do a... We can't do a tag, right? Because that doesn't really make sense. It has to be a women's. All right, we're going to start with the women this time. We're going to have a Yappa Pie strap women's match. What the fuck is Yappa? Okay, so people want to know what that is. My understanding, it's actually not Yappa Pie, believe it or not. It's Yavapai is the actual name. I think it's an Indian tribe, I believe, or it was. Or it has roots in that, and that's where it comes from. But it's actually, I'm pretty sure it's actually Yavapai if you look it up. But I think the way Hogan said it, everybody just assumed it was Yappapai, and it sounds funnier that way. Mighty Molly. All right, so Mighty Molly is getting the strap, and let's see who else. Carmella, also going to be attached to the strap against Mighty Molly. In a Yappapai strap match. That don't work for me, brother. Nope. Wrong button. We're not there yet. I jumped the gun here on the main event. All right, so we have one match left. This is not going well. This has been a horrendous round of Be the Booker, and we can only salvage this. We can only salvage this. Oh, wait, no. We have two matches left, right? I'm confused. I did the women's first. Okay. I'm sorry. We have two more. Oh, look at this. A stretcher match. Well, it's going to have to be a tag team match somehow, because we're going to have ourselves a tag team stretcher match. The only way to win is to put your opponent on the stretcher, both members of the opposing team on two different stretchers, and you have to push them beyond. There's going to be a line of demarcation on the ground, and you push them beyond that line, and then you win the match. That's the stipulation. It sounds horrible, right? I know. This is still on the women. Would have been nice if we had Chris Statlander in that last match. All right, so this is going to be a tag team match. We have the Quebecers. We just landed on them the other day. They're back. Jacques and Pierre. The Quebecers. In a tag team stretcher match against the Von Erichs. Kevin and Kerry Von Erich against the Quebecers. I like that match. I like that match. I don't know why. I have no idea why. I just do. I think they'll make it work. It's PCO, a young PCO. Come on, man. You know it's going to be at least good. Now it's main event time. At least we got one. Even if we don't get the main event, at least we got one. A good old-fashioned steel cage match. We just had one of these on Saturday night's main event the other day, and we'll see who ends up in the cage this time. Maybe Drew McIntyre. Maybe Damian Priest. Or maybe this man. Kota Ibushi. I miss this Kota Ibushi. Put this guy in a cage, though, and what's this guy going to do? This should be interesting. Kota Ibushi against Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. Wow. Ricky Steamboat against Prime Kota Ibushi in a steel cage. First of all, you know Kota is doing a moonsault off the top of the cage. Maybe a Phoenix Splash off the top. He's going to do something crazy off the top of the cage. Steamboat doesn't have to do that. All Steamboat has to do is just hit some arm drags, do some classic Ricky Steamboat stuff. That's all he needs to do. What a match. Havili with a $13 super chat. Worst heel in WWE in 2000, Rikishi or The Godfather? Oh, The Godfather. When he was the good father, The Godfather, absolutely. When should Nakamura have won the WWE Championship? At SummerSlam 2017 or WrestleMania 2018? WrestleMania. Shout out for Brisbane, Australia. Thanks for everything you do. Greatest of all time. Thank you, Havili. I hope I answered your questions. And also, favorite version of the Hart Foundation. I'm not sure what you mean. favorite version of the Hart Foundations? I mean, there was the Hart Foundation. I mean, it was just one tag team and then one faction. I love the faction and I love the tag team. So I'm not sure, what you mean, but I love the Hart Foundation in either form. BCOM C clearly Hikaru Shida versus Bayley. Role Model versus Kindle Stick. Okay. Blue Jay, Ventura and Ross calling a New Jack match. Imagine. Actually, I would rather have seen Ventura and Monsoon calling a New Jack match. Now that would have been something. Thank you, Blue Jay. Thank you all. You guys killed it tonight. Thank you for the support. All of our leaders on the leaderboard, take me to your leader. Let me see if I could see who is currently. It is Maze the Great. It is Maze. 375 XP. Maze is going to be number one for the night. The Winston Slip, number two. And Fire Panda at number three with 300 XP. Daddy Ugarte, number four. And Marcus Robinson. Rounding out the top five, those are our most active chatters tonight, / super chatters. All of that, this is the first time we've done this. This is a new feature YouTube rolled out. I did nothing. It was auto-enabled. I like it. I dig it. I think it's fun. And we'll do it again on Friday. Again, this all resets on Friday. So we'll do all that over again. I will be live after SmackDown. John Cena is back on SmackDown, and Cody Rhodes is back on SmackDown, and we have a Money in the Bank, at least one Money in the Bank qualifier, Nia Jax, Naomi, and Jade Cargill. So it's actually a pretty big show on Friday night, and should be a good way to close out the month of May live here on YouTube. So hopefully you guys will join me. BCOM C clearly solo. I'm high. I miss Kevin Knight. Well, I could tell from some of these super chats, and I miss Kevin Knight. Well, Kevin Knight should be back very soon. He should be back from Japan in within the next week. I'm pretty sure the Best of the Super Juniors wraps up June 1st or June 2nd. So I would expect him back on TV as early as next week. Just got to hold out a little bit longer. Oh, yes, that's right. Jacob Fatu, Andrade, and Carmelo Hayes also. Money in the Bank qualifier on Friday. So two qualifiers. Cody is back and Cena is back. Go check out all of the other content that has gone up over the last several days on this channel, including the Raw review from Monday night, the Double or Nothing review from the other night. If you missed the TNT with myself and JD over on his channel, we went a long time last night covering a lot of topics. And actually, JC Jane won the NXT Women's Championship as we were doing our show, and you got my reaction in real time to JC Jane winning the NXT championship. So that was interesting. I'll see you guys back here live on the channel on Friday night. Until then, take care, guys.